Well, it's our privilege this morning to have Pastor Jason Holt with us to bring the word.
Good morning. It is good to be with you. So grateful for the opportunity to open God's word together. Excited to be back with you. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about training time. And even as Pastor Joel has described his experience through College of Prayer and thinking globally, thinking locally, in the ministry that God has called us to, we're going to look at these things together. We're going to be going to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We have Paul writing to a young leader, pastor, servant, trying to grow in the ministry that's in front of Timothy. And in it, in these eight verses, going to show us what this training time comes from. But I want to make sure we catch a couple things here to start off. There is a recognition that it's training time for Timothy to continue to be trained by God's word, by God's spirit, in the things that he is to be about, but it's also training time by Timothy for others, that he is to now be training others as well. And so whether you are an adult, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a child here this morning, both of those dynamics are true. That if you are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you are both one that it's training time to continue to be trained in God's word, led by God's spirit, and it's training time to influence someone else. That you have the opportunity, because of the reality of being disciples of Jesus Christ together, following him who is the Savior King, that you, whether you are 80, whether you are 38, whether you are 18, whether you are 8, you have the opportunity of influence by the Word and the Spirit for training others. The Winter Olympics are in full swing. When I checked right before getting here this weekend, the United States were not in the top 5 medal count, but there are many, many events yet to go. Which event is your favorite? Hockey? Downhill skiing? I've just become more familiar with the cross boarding, I think they call it, with the downhill kind of speed event. Figure skating? There's a number of different fantastic events, but it begs the question, how much training does it take to get there? You can think about it for a moment. You can whisper to a family member, friend next to you, how many hours of training per year do you suggest makes an Olympian? Well, fastskier.com has multiple articles on this, and one research suggests that for the field of skiing, it's between 700 and 900 hours a year to be invested in skiing. One particular study looked at the top 6 cross-country skiers in the world, and all 6 of them landed between 900 and 1,000 hours per year that they were giving to this. Every day, day in and day out, year in and year out, to be able to get to that spot where they could be that Olympian level. For them, training becomes an expected part of life. And this training time picture, then, is a phrase that Olympians would hear from family, from friends, from coaches. Today, as we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we examine this concept of training time and inviting us to have the spiritual eyes of the training that he is doing, both for us to be receiving and for us to be investing in others as well. So let us go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 8. Invite you to stand out of respect for God's word, reading in the precious name of our Savior King. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Training time invests in others. Training time understands what is involved. And so as God's word to newer believer or someone who's walked with Jesus for decades, the message is the same. You have the opportunity to receive and the opportunity to influence as well. And notice how it starts. Training time begins with God's grace. Paul to Timothy in the faith had this father and son kind of relationship. And so he says, verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The chapter begins with God's grace. It begins with that right relationship with God, all by the working of God. It is grace. It is all of what He has offered through Christ for us. It is His shed blood. It is His activity. As we have sung this morning, that He paid my ransom. And so for training time to start, we start with Christ. We start with who He is and all that He has done. And notice that we are strengthened by Him. The be strengthened. This is emphasizing that it is His work. It is God's activity that does the strengthening in our hearts. It is God's working in us that makes the difference. It happens in Christ. To know Him, to grow in Him, to reach and to equip. That training is going to happen first by the relationship with Him. Okay, Jason, I see that. That makes sense. Why is this significant? It's significant because our own hearts want to kind of grab and take hold of the reins and say, okay, God, you did a nice job. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for new life. I'm now going to take the reins and go forward. And God's word comes and says, no, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The starting point is Christ. The starting point for training time is Jesus, the Savior King. As we heard this morning already, the reality of the King who is coming is the starting point. And even in our old nature, our ears hear that and say, well, yeah, but we're kind of a part of this, aren't we? No. Be strengthened by the grace in Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. And that's the starting point. The invitation for you and me to see clearly who Christ is. Because when we see clearly how it is His working, then we go forward from that. Training time begins with God's grace. It begins with Christ Jesus, our Lord, who is Savior and King. Notice where it goes next. The training time continues with investing in others. Verse 2 describes this picture that the people of God, each one who's been impacted by the grace of God, are invited then to have this influence. Timothy, very specifically, as a young leader, pastor, influencer, he is told that what you've heard from me, Paul, in the presence of many witnesses, this was not a few random side things. It was the core of Christ and Him crucified. It was the core of this kingdom. It was the core of the fact that He was coming again, and that to be people of the word, of prayer, when you heard from me and many witnesses, now what? Entrust to faithful men, to faithful people who will be able to teach or train others also. This is a gospel-motivated reality. It's starting from God's grace and now going to see that everyone has something here to contribute. Who are the faithful people? They're the people who are available. Available to what God is wanting for their lives. They're the people who are teachable, that they're willing to let God's word grab their hearts and their heads in going forward. They're responsive to God's Word. This is training in God's Word. Entrust to faithful men, to faithful people who'll be able to teach others also. Notice the point is not simply knowledge. It's not simply receive some information. The point is to be trained so that they train others also. And that's the reality of our Savior King. We see Jesus with the 12 doing this. We now see Paul with Timothy doing this. And we see it today in the local church of leaders and all ages continuing in this disciple-making process with one another. The object of training is truth and love that multiplies, that moves on to others. 1 Timothy 1:5, the very book before this, Paul puts it this way: the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. In other words, that this training is leading into the right relationship with Christ, a pure heart, a good conscience, a mind that is devoted to the things of Christ and His kingdom, and a sincere faith, a genuine faith that lives itself out in everyday life. We sometimes confuse knowledge and maturity in looking at this investment. When we look to train others, we're like, okay, if they have all the answers on the quiz, then they've got it right. But God's Word here is directing us to the process more than the quiz. Cary Newhoff is a Christian leader and author. He was quoted in a book called Raising World Changers in a Changing World with this: Christian maturity isn't marked by how much we know or how much we can get. Christian maturity is marked by how much we love and how much we give in light of how deeply we've been loved and how much we've been given in Christ. So this call for training enables us to see truth and love. Who is God calling you to train? Well, Jason, I don't know. What would I train in? Christian parents, reading God's Word, praying in your home. In the congregation, spiritual leaders, whatever your role, who could you show what's involved with your role? Sunday school teachers, you are not simply giving information, you are training by God's Word into truth and love. Who is the Lord bringing to your mind for this training time? From there, the Lord leads to move on to getting some insights from physical examples. In case, as Timothy hits this moment, okay, I am going to be strong in God's grace, I am going to train others, but what does this look like? We get three very specific pictures about how training works. And borrowing from the physical realm that we're used to, we now are able to parallel into the spiritual realm for what God is going to be doing in and through His people. Notice verses 3 and 4. The first one is the soldier. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlists him. Physical training for a soldier involves difficulty. There is suffering. There is basic training. There is the commission. There is the theater of whatever difficulty and skirmish that they get into or war. There is suffering. But the sharing of the suffering is being a good soldier, that under the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, that we are not surprised when hard things come, because this is a battle. And no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Christ is who should be pleased. He is our focus. Yes, we live with everyday physical situations and challenges that come to us, But those are not life. Following Jesus is life. Yes, hard things go on in work, in family, in congregational life at times. But that's not life. Life is Jesus. Life is following Him and serving Him. So if it takes 1,000 hours per year to make the Olympics, and that number breaks down to about 3 hours a day, what is the daily investment for the child of God? Following Jesus in our lives, in our work, in our congregation. We are called to follow our spiritual commander, our Savior King, Christ. And this training then makes sense because we are following Him by His Word, by His Spirit. And that we can encourage one another to let life be defined by following Him. The second picture is the athlete. Verse 5 says very simply that an athlete's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Very succinct verse, very short. If you break the rules, you don't get the crown. End of the story. Maybe some of you have been following the Olympics. Today, there will be a hearing about, I may pronounce her name wrong, Kamila Valieva, the 15-year-old figure skating superstar that with the Russian Olympic Committee was about to get gold earlier in the week when they came through with a quick pause, we have a difficulty. The World Anti-Doping Agency reported that this 15-year-old tested positive for a banned substance. And so it's just been kind of this hold all week as they're trying to figure out what is going on. Her coach said that she is clear and not guilty. That she hasn't, she's innocent. That's right, sorry. She's innocent. That she hasn't done anything wrong. An observer said, well, it's very possible. We have another instance with a minor, 15 years old, who her adult handlers may have given her something with her complete lack of knowledge of it. Those of you that follow Olympics will probably note that it's the Russian Olympic Committee because Russia's already under a ban for breaking the rules in a state-planned agency of doing drugs that are against the rules for international competition. So we've got this young lady who's getting reviewed for possibly breaking the rules for the Russian organization that had already broken the rules previously. Athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word is clear. We follow His truth. There are borders and boundaries about this life of faith. And it's not arbitrary. He is good and He is holy and He has reflected who He is and inviting us to follow Him consistent with who He is, which He's revealed to us in His Word. How are we doing? Staying, competing according to the rules. How are we doing? Following God's truth. The third picture is of the farmer. Verse 6, it's the hard-working farmer who ought to have his first share of the crops. Physical training demands hard work, but it does bear fruit. There's a couple quick pieces here to note. This picture of first share of the crops ties into the biblical idea of do not muzzle the oxen and treading out the grain, that those that give their lives to the gospel, it's appropriate to make their living from the gospel. Pay your pastor. This is a good thing, okay? But it also shows that there is this process. Now, being in the area that you are in, this is not news to you that it takes time between planting the seed and the harvest. It's not tomorrow. It's not immediate. And through this process, you understand that it's a process, but the end is worth it. The harvest is worth it. And so for spiritual training, it may take time to invest, both being invested in and investing in others. It may take time, but the fruit, the Spirit, being born in others by His working is worth it. The soldier, the athlete, the farmer. This training time receives insights. And so for some of you, God's grabbing your attention about the soldier, that it's time to define, I am following King Jesus. For some of us, we have been tempted to bend the rules or twist the rules, and God's word is coming and convicting. For some of us, the farmer, we have got discouraged. Yes, we've planted seeds and watered and nurtured, but nothing's come yet. And God's word is saying the hard-working farmer ought to have first share of the crops. The harvest will come. So with this process then, the training time depends on the Lord to guide. Verse 7, think over all that I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Some of you are looking at that being trained. Talk to pastor. Talk to your spiritual leaders if you're sensing that God is calling you into training. For some of you, I have never stopped and thought about that I could train others. You have influence. You have opportunity. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. I don't know how the Lord is going to give you understanding. Others may not know how the Lord is going to give you understanding, but the Lord knows how He is going to give you understanding. The Holy Spirit illumines, the Holy Spirit guides, and the Holy Spirit has insights for what you are facing. How many of you will watch or at least be in a room where the Super Bowl is on today? Quite a few of us. Over 30 years ago, Greg and Annie Miller founded an organization in Ohio called Open Doors Ministries. They had a burden from the Lord for assisting young women that were being either pressured into abortion or being abortion-minded. One of the teens that entered into their organization was Tanisha Copeland. She was pressured by her family and friends to end the pregnancy that she had as a teen, that it put her into a state of clinical depression and hospitalization. Upon leaving the hospital, the first place that she went was to Open Door Ministries and Greg and Annie. This young mother flourished in this environment, and the training and guidance that she received, she learned to trust Jesus Christ and drew close to the Savior and to the body of believers around her. So in 1997, young Tanisha gave birth to her son, Marquise. Marquise grew up to be a fine young man, intelligent student, a dedicated student, and a football player. Being in Ohio, he was offered a scholarship to a number of different schools, but Marquise chose a school close to his home so his mom could go to his games. He chose the University of Cincinnati. So he continued through that, had a very successful college career, and in 2019 was given an invitation to try out for the Los Angeles Rams. As the Lord gives you understanding and everything, this is Marquise. This afternoon, number 93 for the Rams will be Marquise Copeland, whose mom, 20-some years ago, was pressured to end her pregnancy. So Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute writes, "The world is full of shining examples like Marquise. People who were written off as worthless lives with no potential. They are living testimonies, some more high profile than others, but all are living testimonies that God has a special plan for each and every child conceived, regardless of the circumstances." So today, Marquise has reason to rejoice. He plays in a Super Bowl. Today, Tanisha has reason to rejoice. Her son plays in a Super Bowl. Today, Greg and Annie Miller and Open Door Ministries have reason to rejoice. Not just because he's playing in a Super Bowl, but because their teaching, their training, their pointing to Jesus moved one young mom and spared one life. Notice We're on the day where we'll celebrate the Super Bowl, but go all the way back to the beginning of the process. Responding to Christ, ministry to others, time, investment, heart, training, it's Christ. So the training time ends with the Savior King. Notice verse 8, after all of this picture, we receive these words. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Well, wait a minute. Did Timothy, I mean, we've had 1 Timothy, all those chapters, 2 Timothy, we're into chapter 2. Did Timothy somehow forget Jesus? why remember Jesus Christ? What is this picture? Did this young leader have a tendency to forget about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Was there some sense that they didn't understand who Christ was? No. We don't anticipate any of those reasons. Why remember Jesus Christ is because everything is Him. So just as we started with the grace of God in Christ Jesus, we end with the grace of God in Christ Jesus. To remember Jesus Christ is to remember His call, to remember the disciple-making process with Him, and to remember this picture of training. Training time doesn't just start with Jesus, it ends with Jesus. The Savior King who promises new life, forgiveness, and all the fruit of the Spirit is the same Jesus Christ today who is working and calling you and me to respond to Him. Because His grace, His strength, His training is at work. And He is enough for you and for me. This is Jesus. This is the Savior. So be strengthened by the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, first we thank You for starting and ending with our relationship with You. We also thank You, Lord God, that You call us to more than maybe we imagine. That You call us to influence, and we will not see or know this side of heaven all of the ways in which You are moving and impacting people. But Lord God, You've given us a glimpse here. And Lord, as You draw to us the pictures of soldier and athlete and farmer, Lord, work in our hearts and our minds today, and may we, by Your strength, being strengthened by You, by Your strength, say, yes, Lord, I want to serve and I want to train others. I want to serve and I want to be trained. And Lord God, as this has been a congregation of sending, as this has been a congregation of equipping, as this has been a congregation of missions, Lord, multiply beyond what we can ask or imagine because You are doing something mighty.